Good morning. Grace and peace for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. Welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're here. When you came in this morning, you should have found an attendance pad at the end of your pew. Will you please take that and give us a record of your attendance? We have a very faithful attendance ministry that meets on Monday mornings and attempts to reach out to those of us who might not have been able to be in service or any prayer concerns you might have. You'll find a prayer concern tab in that folder, and you can please just put that in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'll take care of that on Monday morning. There are a number of things going on in the life of the church. I'm going to try to raise those out to your attention. If I forget something that's part of your ministry, you just please raise your hand. We'll recognize you and make sure we get it on the webcast. The financial peace classes will resume this afternoon at 4 o'clock in the fellowship hall. The pastor tells me we had a good turnout last week, and the second session will be held today at 4 o'clock. You'll see a number of announcements in the bulletin regarding the UMW. I do need to point out the bridal shower on the back of the bulletin has the wrong date on it. It says January 29th. It's actually January 19th. They'll be honoring Christine next Sunday afternoon, and that will be in the fellowship hall as well. The UMW, yes? You're welcome, Carol. Also, UMW has begun a new reading book. There's information about it in the bulletin. They started last week. I guess, Carol, there's still some books over in the Pam Jackson room. If you'd like to join that Bible study, they're getting into the second week this week, and now's a good time to go ahead and start that. We have a continuing need for Sunday school help. If you feel so led to just come on over and help us with Sunday school curriculum, you see Kim Neal or Michael Jennings or anyone that has to do with the leadership of the church, we will take all comers as far as volunteering for that because we have a dire need for Sunday school teachers. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? Are we celebrating any birthdays this week? Yes, ma'am.
Friday,
happy birthday. Any other birthdays? Well, let's sing happy birthday, God bless you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
this morning, if you would turn in your bulletin and join with me in our call to worship as we enter into God's presence together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are incorporated into Christ's holy church. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 605, Wash, O God, Our Sons and Daughters. Thank you. Please be seated.
And at this time, we invite the children to join me down front for a children's sermon. Come on down. Ready for you. So this morning, good morning.
Morning.
Whoa, hey, good morning. I'm glad y'all are here. So we've got an extra piece down here again this morning. And do y'all remember what this is? What this is called? What's this called? What do we do here? Baptize people, that's right. Yeah, so it's a baptismal font, like a fountain. It's got our baptismal waters in it. And why do you think we've got this down here today? Well, that's a good guess. Normally when we have this, it's because somebody's getting baptized. But do you know what our story from Scripture is today? Does anybody know? You might have talked about it in Sunday school. Yeah, it's in Mark. What was it? Yeah, we're going to read from Matthew. And y'all might not have done this today, but today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. You didn't do that one? That's all right. It's Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And what do you think happens on Baptism of the Lord Sunday in the Scripture? Yeah, the Lord got baptized. Jesus got baptized. Did y'all know that in Scripture? What do you think? Did you know? What's up? That's the story. John the Baptist baptized Jesus And the dove came down. And that's a tongue twister for some reason for me today. John the Baptist baptized Jesus and the dove came down. We'll practice that. So we have this here because we're remembering Jesus's baptism. Jesus was baptized, he came to John, and the dove came down and it said, "This is my son with whom I'm well pleased." And so Jesus gets baptized just like everybody else by John the Baptist. And then later in the scripture, all the way at the end of the gospel, then Jesus tells his disciples to go and baptize other people in his name. He tells us to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in his name so that they might know about God's grace and God's goodness, so they might know about being a part of the church, because that's what happens for us in baptism. It's God bringing us into God's church. It's God's bringing us into God's life. And so today, what we're going to do later in the service is we're going to come up and remember our baptism. And what that means is we come up, and every time we do a baptism or a new member joining, we'll remember our baptism, and I'll just say something like, "Remember your baptism and be thankful," and the whole congregation says, "Amen," and that's the end of it. But today, we're going to do something a little different, and we're going to remember our baptism by coming up to the font. Everybody's going to have the opportunity to come up and to feel the water. And to feel it on their hands, you can touch it to your forehead and feel the water, and we remember our baptism, even if we can't remember it, even if it hadn't happened yet. We have a chance to remember our baptism because baptism is about what God does. It's not really about what we do, so we get to remember what God does and God saying that God loves us and God wants us and God wants us to be a part of God's life and God's church. And so we're going to do that in a little while, and I want y'all to help me practice and show the congregation what we're going to do. So y'all want to stand up and come over here, gather around the font? Y'all stand up. All right, and we're just going to touch the water. It's just our water, our baptism waters. You want to touch it? Yeah. And so we feel it, and it's just water. But in it, God claims us and says that he wants us. So, you want to touch it to your forehead? Yeah? No? That's all right. You can just feel it on your hands. Yeah. So can we pray around the baptismal font? Will y'all pray with me, hands together? Bow your heads and let's pray. Dear God, thank you for baptism and for claiming us. Amen. All right. Thank y'all for coming and helping me with this. And you can head back to your seats. Bless you. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, we want to continue in our prayers for Rich and Yvette Herring. They're still feeling under the weather, but also for Yvette's mother, Miss Vi. Miss Vi had a successful move from her home into an assisted living, and so we praise God for that transition and that she continues to have a good move and get adjusted to her new surroundings and new life in her assisted living apartment. And so we praise God for that, but we want to be in prayer for all of them as they seek to heal and get well and adjust. We also want to be in prayer for all those who've been affected by these storms that have rolled through overnight, those that were in the path of the storm earlier in the day yesterday, and those who continue to feel the effects. We want to be in prayer for Puerto Rico as they continue to struggle, and now with earthquakes that have happened over the past week on top of all that they already had due to hurricanes and storms. We want to lift them in prayer. We want to be in prayer for Richard Love's cousin, Brent Moss. He continues to improve following a car accident and some serious injury that he had last week. And so we want to lift all these in prayer. And if you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, would you indicate that by lifting your hands? Thank you. And if you have a spoken prayer request that you'd like to share with the church, if you would, do so at this time. Might have spoken prayer requests. Yeah. Mark Drag. Okay. Mark Drag, the SRO at Dutch Fork High School, passed away this week. We want to be in prayer for him and for all the sheriff's deputies and the school. Others this day? I'm seeing none. Oh, yes, sir. For Andrew? Andrew's sick and not feeling well. So we're going to be in prayer for Andrew. Let's go to God in prayer. Merciful God, how often we forget or neglect our covenant and baptismal vows. Teach us to live like those who have accepted the obligation, the responsibilities of baptized believers, to care for the least, the last, and the lost among us, to love one another as you have loved us, to care for one another and lift one another in prayer, to reach out in grace and in love to a world that's hurting and waiting to see your grace and your love. Covenant God, you made us your people and gave us your Son as a pledge of your love. It was by his blood that we were baptized into relationship with you, yet we make trivial both his blood and the waters of baptism, which symbolize our entry into the church. Forgive us our sins, restore us to harmony with you and with one another, we pray. In the name of Jesus, the Christ who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Those who are able, please stand and join with me in singing hymn number 544, Like the Murmur of the Dove's Song. Thank you. Please remain standing for the gospel lesson.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. I'm going to tell y'all an embarrassing story today. So back in my first year of divinity school, so I was about 23 at the time, I had the opportunity to preach my first sermon. I discerned the call to ministry ways before this point, but for a variety of reasons, I hadn't had an opportunity to actually preach a sermon until this point in my divinity school career. And my home church pastor invited me to come and preach for the Easter sunrise service. That was my assigned task for my first sermon. Now, the reasons that I hadn't really had an opportunity to preach my first sermon at this point in time in my discerning of my call is because growing up, I was, I still am, an introvert, for starters, and I wasn't really one who liked to stand up and talk in front of people. I still am not, to be perfectly honest with you. I had avoided any opportunities to stand, even after accepting the call to ministry, even after hearing it for the first time, I'd always resisted any opportunity or volunteering for any kind of testimony or offering a youth Sunday message or doing any of those kinds of things. I'd always resisted doing that, so I'd never wanted to just do it. But now I was in divinity school, and they knew I was serious, and so the pastor of my home church said, well, I think you need to come and preach this sermon. So I said, okay, I knew I was supposed to. I knew I was supposed to preach all the time anyway, so I figured I had to get started sometime. And so I decided I'd do this first sermon on Easter sunrise morning, but I need y'all to hear that I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. I knew I had to, but I didn't want to. And so I, being a first-year divinity student who knew everything at that point in time, I prepared this 12-page manuscript sermon, it felt like. I don't remember how many pages is what, but it was too many. And it was all about the Greek word martyreo, which is the root for martyr. It means witness and testify. And it was this whole big sermon, and they all had the same look y'all did, like, why is he talking Greek, right? It was 12 pages on this, and it was 12 pages, and it was at the beach. And did I mention that the service was outside? Right? My home church is Socastee Methodist Church, and if you're going into Surfside, into Myrtle Beach on 544, and you go across the Intercoastal Waterway, and you see that church that's got a big red roof, that's my home church, right? So we're right there on the river. We're almost at the beach, and that morning, that Easter Sunday morning, it was dark. When I started preaching, the sun had not come up, and it was windy because we're close to the beach and the wind's coming off the ocean and it's cold. And I'm standing there with 12 pages of loose leaf paper sermon notes in the wind preaching about Greek. And I'm beating on the pulpit not to try and get people's attention, to try and hold my sermon notes down, so that they don't fly away, and I have to do it without anything. So this is my first sermon. I didn't want to do it. Y'all already heard that. I did not want to, and it did not go how I expected. Papers flying, speaking Greek, it was not good. It was not good. You hear me? It was bad. But here's the thing. I was called to do it. So I did it. It was bad. I didn't want to do it, but I was called to do it. You see, I have a t-shirt that says this exactly. It looks like that. I wear it sometimes. That day, I wish I'd have been wearing it to say, nope, not today. I got here. I see what's going on. I'm done. I'm not doing this. I didn't wear it, and I did it, but I wanted to wear that shirt. And I have all ideas that John the Baptist in our scripture this morning wanted to be wearing that t-shirt. When Jesus comes down to him at the Jordan, did y'all hear that in the scripture? When Jesus comes down to him at the Jordan, John, it tells us in the NRSV, in that literal translation said, tried to prevent Jesus by saying, Lord, you should be baptizing me. What John really said there was, nope, not today. I'm not baptizing you. What we didn't get from this passage is that earlier, John has been baptizing. He's already been baptizing tons of folks. Everybody from the Judean countryside around Jerusalem has come to John at the River Jordan to be baptized for a repentance of their sins. This is tax collectors and prostitutes. It's the working class, and then all of a sudden we also hear in Matthew's gospel that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests show up, and John looks at them and he goes, who told you about this? What are you doing here? Everybody has come to be baptized by John at the River Jordan, and now, and in the midst of that, as they're all kind of wondering, now is this guy, is he the Messiah? Is he the one we should follow? In the midst of that, John tells him, he looks out at him, he says, I am not the Messiah, and I'm baptizing you with water for repentance, but one is coming after me who will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. John's already told him that somebody else is coming. And so now on this day, Jesus comes down to the Jordan, and John looks up and he says, nope, not today, that's the one. He says, that's the one that's coming to bring the Holy Spirit and the fire. And he says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. I need what you have. You don't need what I've got. And so Jesus, hearing John say to him, nope, not today. I don't want anything to do with this. I want to do it the other way. I want to switch roles. You come and baptize me. Hearing John say that, Jesus looks at John and he says, let it be so now. Let it be so now. Jesus acknowledges that it's out of order. Jesus acknowledges that it's backwards. He says to John, let it be so now. I know that I should be baptizing you, John, but let it be so now. Let it be so in the present. It's going to be reversed. It's going to be backwards. It's going to feel wrong. It's going to look wrong. It's not going to be something you want to do. Let it be so now. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Now, Matthew and Jesus in Matthew uses righteousness to say this is in accordance with the will of God. So Jesus says, let it be so right now. Let it be out of order. Let it feel wrong. Let it not be understood to you now. Trust me now so that it will fulfill the will of God. So that it will fulfill the will of God. John knows that Jesus doesn't need his baptism because Jesus doesn't need to repent. And more importantly, John knows that John needs the Holy Spirit that Jesus is bringing. But Jesus says, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. So how is it God's will? How is this act where Jesus descends into the Jordan to be baptized, how is that according to God's will? How does that fit with God's will? Because Jesus tells John, it is God's will for John to baptize Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling John. That's what he wants John to know. And you see, it's God's will because in this moment, Jesus descends into the Jordan, into the waters of baptism, where all of these folks that we just named, where the sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, where the regular ordinary folks just trying to do their best, where the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests, all of them, Jesus enters down into these waters where they have all come to receive John's baptism of repentance. John has washed their sins away so that they can turn to God in the River Jordan. All of them have come. All of this Judean countryside, all of humanity has come and been baptized in these waters that now Jesus wades into, these waters that are filthy with their sin, with the dust of their feet, with the dirt and grime and grittiness of their soul. Jesus wades now into those waters. And when John says, hold on, nope, not today, Jesus says, let it be so now to fulfill God's will. God's will that Jesus would descend into these waters. God's will that Jesus would come and submit himself to not just coming in waist deep, to being fully submerged into the filth and grime and sin of humanness. the brokenness and the woundedness of us. To be fully, no part is left out. He's not holding an arm up. He's not keeping his nose out so he can breathe. He is going fully under into our mess. Into the murky, greenish brown gunk of us. It reminds me a little bit of pluff mud. You know what pluff mud is? At the beach, at the creek, when the waters go out, there's this stuff. You can smell it. It's the smell. That's what it's coming from. When I was growing up and we'd be playing in the inlet, you'd end up with it on you various ways, and on your legs, on your feet, and when you just dip your hands in the water, it doesn't come off. It sticks. You got to wash it. And it smells, and you smell after it's just touched you a little bit. And it's literally, don't worry about that. It's gross. Jesus goes in after us to the baptismal waters of the Jordan this day. He descends into our gunk, gunk that doesn't just wash off easy. It's been collecting and building with all the people who John has baptized for repentance to get them ready for the one who's going to come, the one that John isn't even fit to untie the thong of his sandals, the one who's coming to baptize with Holy Spirit and with fire so that people will know the salvation and redemption of the Lord. That one has come and submitted himself to be submerged into our yuck. Not just our yuck, into our death. Into our obsession with sin and brokenness, with doing the wrong thing because it feels good, with doing whatever it is that we think is best, no matter what anybody else says, with doing whatever it is that we decide is right for us, even when everything else points to it being wrong. Jesus comes and submits himself to being submerged in our sinfulness and our brokenness and our willfulness and our rebellion, to being submerged into everything that's now going to come after, where Jesus is going to be mocked and kicked and crucified and slaughtered. Jesus submits himself to all of it in this moment, to going down into us, so that when he comes back up, he brings us with him. So that when he comes up out of the waters and the heavens split and the dove descends and says, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased," Jesus drags us washed into God's presence with him. So that we can stand before our Father and Creator in righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness, Jesus does all of it. Jesus enters willingly and knowingly into all of it for our sake. For our sake. For our sake, for your and my sake, Jesus enters into all of it. And you see, the Holy Spirit descending and showing that Jesus is righteous, the righteous one, confirms that he has fulfilled all righteousness in this moment. It is confirmation that this is God's will. And the presence of the Holy Spirit continues to be that signifier for us, that opportunity for us to know that we are fulfilling all righteousness. That we are fulfilling what God would call us to be. When we see and feel the power and presence of the Holy Spirit blowing us along on God's journey, taking us in God's mission towards what God would have us to do and God would have us to be as individuals and as a church, that's confirmation that we are partnering with Jesus in fulfilling all righteousness. So we got to look for that Holy Spirit. We got to cling to that Holy Spirit. We got to hold on to that Holy Spirit to know what Jesus is calling us to do. Now, when Jesus went down into those waters in the Jordan, they were murky and they were filthy and they were muddy. And when he comes up and he is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. He moves through his whole ministry and comes to the end of his gospel in Matthew, and he tells his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in my name. Not baptizing them into the filth and the muck, but baptizing them in my name, into the Holy Spirit, into God's grace and God's life and God's mercy, into God's love, into God's family. And so the waters aren't murky. The waters aren't muddy. They can be. It doesn't really matter. Jesus has redeemed them. For us today, they're not. For us today, they're here in our baptismal font for us to remember our baptism and be thankful, to come and remember that Jesus has pulled us from the muck and mire of our life into God's presence. To remember that Jesus has promised us the Holy Spirit as a guide and a comfort, as the way that we know how to fulfill all righteousness in this life. And so we get to come today to these baptismal waters. And the baptismal font's always down here on the floor with us. Why? Because that's the baptismal waters pull us up out of our muck and our mire. They're not up there with the altar. The baptismal font's always down here in our midst. And so we come to the baptismal font to remember, to reaffirm our baptismal covenant this day. And I'm going to be on page 50 in the hymnal, and we'll also have words on the screen this morning as well. But I hope you'll join me in this service of covenant reaffirmation in our baptismal vows. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. Acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so this day, on behalf of the whole church, not just Grace, behalf of the whole church, not just the United Methodist Church, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Let us join together then in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, we may share in his final victory. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. This morning, as we come to the baptismal waters, I invite you to come up, and just like I told the kids, to feel the water. Feel it on your hands. Feel it on your skin. Feel it. You can touch it to your forehead. You can do what you need to do to remember your baptism. No matter when you were baptized, no matter how long ago, no matter how old you were, it doesn't matter if you haven't been baptized yet, you can still come and know that these waters are available to you. And if you'd like to experience them, you can come and experience them this morning, and then you can talk to me afterwards so that we can schedule a time for your baptism. And so if you, as you come, do what you need to do to remember your baptism here at the font, to take time at the altar of the Lord to remember your baptism and be thankful this day. If you need the waters brought to you this day, I'm happy to bring them to you in the shell. And so if you'll raise your hand, I'm happy to bring those to you so that all may participate in this rite as we remember our baptism. And you're going to be invited just to come as you feel led. As we enter this time. So I invite you to come. The font is open. It's the waters of baptism and remembrance are here this day for us to know that God loves us and that God has pulled us into God's family. Once again, I'm in our liturgy in our hymnal, the baptismal covenant 4 that begins on page 50. We're at the blessing after receiving our reaffirmation and our baptismal remembrance. The Holy Spirit work within us that having been born through water and the Spirit, we may live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us rejoice in the faithfulness of our covenant God. We give thanks for all that God has already given us as members of the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. To eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and in peace. Amen. This morning, having received God's grace and remembering our baptism, having received the gift of water and the Spirit, and remembering that gift, remembering our salvation and our redemption, we have an opportunity to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously done for us. Almighty God, through water and the Spirit, you gift us with grace. You gift us with salvation and redemption. You gift us with the honor of being a part of your family, a part of standing in your presence and of being a part of your life and mission and witness. We ask that you would receive now our gifts that are born out of the abundance that you've given to us, our gifts that are given from a place of generosity that we hope lines up with your generous life-giving spirit. We give these gifts and we ask that you would bless them so that they might be used for your kingdom, so that they might be used in accordance with your will and your way, so that all might know, so that every knee might bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Please join with me in singing hymn number 617. We will sing the first, fourth, and fifth stanzas.
Our mission at Grace is
to know Jesus and to make him known to others.
Go therefore into the world knowing that Jesus is making himself known to you. Through the waters of baptism, he is trying to pull you up into his presence, into God's life, every breath, every hour, every minute, so that you might stand in all righteousness before the throne of God. Go knowing that and ready to tell others about it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.